Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Alzheimer's is a cruel disease, wrote my next guest in his book, Doctored: Fraud, Arrogance, and Tragedy in the Quest to Cure Alzheimer's. Author Charles Piller continues his description of Alzheimer's. It, quote, begins by gradually stealing a person's mastery of everyday life, then cherished memories, and finally the sense of self that makes each of us human. Alzheimer's afflicts nearly 7 million Americans, making it the fifth leading cause of death among the elderly. Family caregivers in the U.S. provided a staggering $350 billion in care to Alzheimer's patients in 2023, end quote. My guest is Charles Piller, an award-winning investigative journalist for Science Magazine. His work has appeared in the Los Angeles Times, the New York Times, and other major media. Welcome to the Exchange, Charles.
Thanks so much for having me, Mike.
So, to be quite honest with you, Charles, this may have been the most frightening book I've ever read, at least in years. Alzheimer's is not the only cruel disease that you discovered in your investigation. You found quite a rat's nest of deception, false data, dubious drugs, and a collaborative cabal of conniving researchers, government accomplices, and a garbage pile of highly trusted folks infected with the disease of greed who preyed upon the desperation of people seeking life-saving or at least life-extending medicines. Did I frame that correctly?
Well, yes, I think a lot of those things are really true, Mike, and it can be a very discouraging outlook in that regard. Of course, there are good things happening in the field, too, and I hope we'll get around to talking about some of those.
We absolutely will. But you start with the tragic story of Stephen Price and his son, Matt. Help us understand how this family's story actually opened up a world of hidden corruption, collusion, and deception.
Sure. So Matt Price and his dad, Stephen. Stephen is someone living with Alzheimer's. And Matt is a very smart guy and pretty sophisticated. His work involves some global health issues, and he's pretty knowledgeable about the issues of how drug testing works and wanted to try to ensure that his dad could be a participant in promising drug trials.
Charles, given that Matt is a Harvard-educated epidemiologist, isn't he?
That's right. Yeah. He's a very smart guy and a very sophisticated consumer of drug information and health information. He knows his way around that world more than just about any average person on the street. And that made him really well equipped to help his dad navigate this issue of how to get into a drug trial for what at the beginning they thought might be a very promising opportunity for a drug called Simufilam from a company called Cassava Sciences. That was the genesis of their journey in a way.
Well, you wrote about Stephen trying psilocybin for a while, which produced some dramatic results for a few months. And then his son, Matt, pursued this other drug thought to be disease-modifying. Can you explain?
Sure. So disease modifying in the context of Alzheimer's means a drug that is trying to either arrest, slow, or reverse the cognitive decline symptoms of the disease by going after what scientists believe are the ways in which the drug operates the ways in which Alzheimer's affects the brain, so the drug would directly affect those disease-causing mechanisms. This is to be distinguished from a lot of drugs that people who are living with Alzheimer's might be taking for particular symptoms like anxiety or insomnia, which can be very common among Alzheimer's patients. Those drugs do nothing to modify the actual progression of the disease, and that's what, in theory, this drug Simufilam was trying to do.
Okay, and then you introduce us early on to an unlikely duo, Lindsay Burns. She's a young, high-achieving Olympic athlete from Montana, and she teams up with an aging Taiwanese professor at City University in New York. How does this team fit into the story?
Well, these were the two scientists behind the developmental work that led to the creation of this drug, simufilam, this Alzheimer's drug. And Lindsay Burns, of course, by the time she hooks up with Dr. Wong from City University of New York, she has, you know, she's beyond her Olympic days, and now she's a neuroscientist herself who's interested in drug development and has been working in this company, Cassava Sciences. And initially, Cassava was working on pain relief drugs during the period in which new opioids were coming to market. They never successfully got that drug, or really any drug, to be sold on the American market or any market. But they switched their efforts to Alzheimer's disease because they felt that this new drug of theirs, simufilam, could have a beneficial effect on slowing or reversing cognitive decline. If they were successful, it would have been one of the greatest pharmaceutical developments in decades. But as my book Doctor describes, this was a very ill-fated venture that ultimately failed, in part because it was shown that much of the research involving this drug seemed to be based on doctored science, doctored images, and inappropriate use of data that seemed to suggest that the drug was successful when it really was not.
Well, we'll get to that in just a moment. My guest is Charles Piller, an award-winning investigative journalist for Science magazine. He's the author of Doctored: Fraud, Arrogance, and Tragedy in the Quest to Cure Alzheimer's. Charles is also author of the books Gene War: Military Control Over the New Genetic Technologies, and also The Fail-Safe Society: Community Defiance in the End of American Technological Optimism. Charles reports on public health, biological warfare, and infectious disease outbreaks. So Charles, the company Pain Therapeutics was led by Lindsay Burns' husband, who then rebranded the company as Cassava Sciences. Why? And what happened to that company?
Well, he rebranded it because they basically failed as a developer of pain medication. They could never get a drug approved through FDA, which is the necessary process for being able to sell a prescription drug in the United States. And one of their scientists, who was a close collaborator, although not an employee, was this guy from the City University of New York, Huyan Wong. And he and Lindsay Burns were the scientists who were working very, very closely together to develop their pain medications, and then ultimately for the rebranding to become an Alzheimer's drug company and to develop this drug simufilam together.
So you mentioned doctored imagery. What are manipulated scientific images or doctored imagery, and why does that matter?
Sure. Thanks so much for that question, Mike. I think it's important to be able to visualize what we're talking about here. In Alzheimer's disease, it's very common for two types of images to display the results of an experiment. And so the images themselves are really pretty much the data results of the experiment. And so one is something called a micrograph. And this is a very highly enlarged photograph, usually of brain tissue. It might be brain tissue from a person after death, after an autopsy. And it might also be animal tissue that's used to test the effects of drugs or to show disease progression and the effects it has on brain tissue. And so these very highly magnified photographs can show individual neurons, the brain cells, and other features within the tissue. And the way it looks can describe how a drug is affecting it. It can also describe what the disease progression is and how serious it is. And what has been found over and over is that people who have bad motives in the display of this research can copy and paste certain features and move them into different locations in an image, or they can intensify or reduce by erasing the image, erasing portions of the image to accentuate some effect that they are postulating is taking place during their experimentation. They do this through common photography programs like Photoshop. So that's the first basic kind of image that we've been looking at in trying to examine the possibility of scientific misconduct in the field. The other is something called a Western blot, and this is a technique that's used to display different proteins within a tissue sample. Now, the reason they want to display proteins is that they are often integral to affecting Alzheimer's disease, and some would say are the cause of Alzheimer's symptoms. And showing the types and the amounts of proteins within a sample can give very important clues about whether a drug is having an effect on the brain tissue, and also how, again, the disease might be progressing and how it's displayed inside the brain. These are critical to understanding how to develop a drug and how to understand the disease. What has been found over and over is that people, again, with dishonest motives can change the appearance of these Western blots, which appear like a ladder-like series of irregularly shaped bands that make up together the overall Western blot. And by intensifying some, reducing the intensity of others, or moving them around by a copy and paste or cut and paste methodology, again, in a program like Photoshop, you can display almost any experimental result you want. And when it's done improperly, you can make a drug or an experiment look successful when in reality it was not.
Yeah, I'm getting a little bit, this sort of brings out a little bit of emotion in me because it angers me. But as this intrigue around a dubious drug to treat Alzheimer's patients unfolded, you introduced us to a 40-something Vanderbilt University neuroscientist named Matthew Schrag or Schrag.
Yes, Matthew Schrag.
What role does Schrag play in unraveling this increasingly complex web of medical trials, shareholder investments, company profits, and desperate Alzheimer's patients, along with dueling research scientists? What's his role?
Well, Matt Schrag, who actually at the beginning of this, he wasn't even 40, he was in his late 30s, and he was a junior professor at Vanderbilt University who is himself a neurologist who treats Alzheimer's patients and a neuroscientist who in his own lab tries to find ideas that would help solve the Alzheimer's puzzle. And he's a person who is deeply concerned with scientific integrity, basically for a simple reason. He really wants to help solve the problem of Alzheimer's. And if research is improperly tampered with, it can set the field back by confusing scientists and putting false ideas into the scientific literature that can skew ideas and skew scientific approaches. So he ended up engaging in a series of examinations of the scientific studies that led to this drug Simufilam by Cassava Sciences. And he did this at the request of scientists who were complaining to the FDA about it. And these were scientists who were convinced that there may have been problems in this research of the kind that I was just describing, manipulated images. And Schrag, who is himself an expert in scientific imagery from his own years and years of creating and assessing these images in his own work, he had the skill, had the computer skill and the technical knowledge to both discern when improper changes may have been made and also to understand their meaningfulness to Alzheimer's disease. And so he applied those skills to a dossier that he created that examined many, many studies associated with this drug from Cassava Sciences, Simufilam, and delivered it to the NIH, that's the federal agency that funds a lot of that work, and to the Food and Drug Administration, the agency that regulates the approval of such drugs.
Okay, hold it right there. Hold it right there, mm-hmm. because that's a cliffhanger. We're going to have to take a short break. We'll be right back with my guest, Charles Piller, an award-winning investigative journalist for Science Magazine. He's the author of Doctored, Fraud, Arrogance, and Tragedy in the Quest to Cure Alzheimer's. I'm Mike Green. You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange on JPR. Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. My guest is Charles Piller, an award-winning investigative journalist for Science Magazine. He's the author of Doctored, Fraud, Arrogance, and Tragedy in the Quest to Cure Alzheimer's. Charles is also author of the books Gene War, Military Control Over the New Genetic Technologies, and also The Fail-Safe Society, Community Defiance and the End of American Technological Optimism. Charles reports on public health, biological warfare, and infectious disease outbreaks. Before we took a break, Charles was telling us about these images that were created in a dossier and sent to the NIH and FDA. Continue.
Sure. So these images that appeared to have been doctored in a variety of scientific papers were sent to these federal agencies, and basically they sat there and not much happened for a while. They were part of a body of information that became used by the federal agencies to try to investigate this company and to find out if their activities and the research done by their scientists was improper and misleading.
When you say this company, you're talking about Cassava Sciences?
Exactly right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And really, it was the genesis of the work that Matt Schrag ended up doing that ended up being far, far broader than this one drug, this one company. It led to, in a sense, the moment of realization that was the start of my book and the start of his much bigger journey into the question of falsified research in Alzheimer's disease.
So Matthew Schrag believed everything was figure-outable, right? Figure-outable.
Yes. Yeah, that's the words he lives by.
So what happened to the company Biogen after the FDA approved its drug over much protest?
Sure. So the drug you're referring to is something called Aduhelm, and it was approved by FDA for the treatment of Alzheimer's disease. It was the first so-called disease-modifying drug that was approved in that way. This was some years ago now, a few years ago. And the drug was very expensive, $56,000 initially per patient per year. And it also had very many serious hazards associated with brain swelling and bleeding among some of the patients who took the drug as a treatment during the trials of the drug that led to its approval. It was approved above and against the recommendation of the agency's own advisory committee made up of august experts in Alzheimer's disease and medical ethics. So it was a very surprising move. You might say born of both desperation to try to have something available to Alzheimer's patients, but also kind of based on the lobbying by corporate and the corporations themselves, of course, pressure the FDA to approve it. In addition, patient advocacy groups, which are often extremely well-meaning organizations, also pressure the FDA to approve drugs, even if their outlook for the efficacy and safety of the treatment is not really great. And that was the case with Aduhelm.
So, Charles, what did you uncover at the FDA regarding its medical examiners and the relationships they had with companies submitting drugs for approval?
Well, unfortunately, in this case, it was a terrible example where there was a back channel set of communications between the drug developer and top officials at FDA. These relationships were improper and resulted in a congressional investigation that blamed the agency for engaging in a kind of communication that was meant not to evaluate the drug in the most fair-minded, correct way, but in a way that was bent to the developer's preferences and will and resulted in its approval in this way that I mentioned before, that was even over the recommendations of the agency's own advisors.
Was this an anomaly?
Well, it was an extreme example, let's put it that way. Not exactly an anomaly, because the agency has some serious problems of independence, and it has something that's called the revolving door phenomenon, in which top agency investigators, drug investigators, these are the people that put the drugs through their paces in such a way that they can approve or disapprove their use for the public, that often the folks that are evaluating the drugs leave the agency and then take very, very high-paid drugs at the same companies whose products they were previously developing. This kind of phenomenon is, I think, unfortunately, has a pernicious influence on the reliability of the way in which the federal government evaluates drugs. That said, I just want to make it clear that I think we are very fortunate in this country to have agencies like FDA, which are generally among the most rigorous in the world at drug evaluation. They do have problems. They do have weaknesses. And in fact, some of their actions are, in my view, reprehensible. But that said, they're not all bad, and they do a lot of good evaluations as well.
I would tend to agree with you, and your book really scared the daylights out of me. You have the FDA, where, you know, that's the highest level of trust that we have in the country, and you have this revolving door with these untrustworthy actors. And granted, they're not everyone, but they're a sufficient amount that it warrants critical oversight. What happened to the drug Leqembi?
So Leqembi is a drug that was approved more recently by FDA. It's a what they might call look-alike drug with Aduhelm. So it has similar effects and similar risks, not quite as risky as Aduhelm. And the benefits are purportedly a tiny bit better. So let me explain what I mean about benefits and risks. The benefits are that to a statistically significant, statistically measurable degree, the drug slows the cognitive decline experienced with Alzheimer's disease. And when I say statistically measurable, I mean that it can be measured in a very precise way based on a trial of patients who got the drug versus others who received a placebo. And it, unfortunately, these effects may not be clinically observable. And what I mean by that is that the patients, their doctor, their family members may not actually perceive any difference because they're so subtle and so minor in regard to the slowing of the progression of Alzheimer's. They do not arrest the symptoms of cognitive decline. They do not reverse symptoms. They slow it to a very, very minute and some would say almost imperceptible degree. So that drug is on the market. It costs $26,000 for the drug itself per year per patient. And it also costs an enormous amount for brain scans related to ensuring adequate safety in its use. This drug is covered by Medicare, so that's a good thing, but still has a very large copay that could be prohibitive for a lot of elderly patients. So it's really not a very hopeful kind of solution to Alzheimer's. It's minimally effective at best. It's very costly, and it's very expensive, and it has extreme hazards associated with it, including the risk of death. So not a great state of affairs.
My guest is Charles Piller, an award-winning investigative journalist for Science Magazine. He's the author of Doctored, Fraud, Arrogance, and Tragedy in the Quest to Cure Alzheimer's. Charles, under the subheader, Hitting the Targets, you write about sending an email to a group of scientists. Tell me about your rationale and the response.
Sure. Sure. So as part of the book, I was very fortunate to be assisted by a group of what are called forensic image sleuths. And these are experts in analyzing scientific images for possible doctoring, possible inappropriate, improper conduct. And they helped me evaluate the work of scores of important Alzheimer's scientists to try to understand whether there was a broader problem in the field. And what they found and what I wrote about in the book was indeed there were many hundreds of studies, many of which were highly influential in influencing the thinking behind drug development, the thinking behind the origins of the disease that were based on doctored images. And the conclusions I had to reach were that we had a serious problem of believability in some tracks of research, a problem that really requires a serious kind of hard look in the mirror by the field to understand whether some of their work that they've been doing has been based on false pretenses.
So there's a question of integrity. What is DNA barcoding, and who is Stephen Newmaster?
Well, this is actually another element of the book that describes a story I wrote some years ago about a technique that is used to identify certain substances, can be used in identifying plants and pharmaceutical products, et cetera, everything. The method involves using a snippet of DNA to try to tag substances and see if their presence in things like nutritional supplements is really truly represented by the product label. Newmaster was a guy who was involved in doing this at the University of Guelph in Canada and was very, very important in this field and caused a lot of changes in the field. It later turned out that a lot of his work was based on inappropriate science, improper science, and false science. And I wrote about this in the pages of Science Magazine, not related to Alzheimer's, however, not related to the subject of my book, but an example of how inappropriate work in science and fabulism and a kind of misconduct can infect other realms of science as well.
That sounds like you're pretty good at blowing away houses of cards. What happened to Cassava and its principles?
Well, the end game for Cassava was that a number of government investigations, including by the Department of Justice, resulted in an indictment of Huyan Wang, their chief collaborator, for work associated with the drug Simufilam. The Securities and Exchange Commission had a case against the company, and Lindsay Burns and her husband, the CEO, all three of those were fined. The company had to end up paying $40 million to the SEC to settle claims of securities violations associated with their claims about the drug. They did not admit wrongdoing, but they agreed to pay $40 million to settle the charges. And then finally, the drug itself in clinical experiments failed completely, and the company admitted that it was not effective for Alzheimer's disease. So what happened to the company is its share price went down on the stock market by 85% in a matter of about an hour after that announcement was made.
And what happened to Matthew Schrag, and what's his advice to those suffering from Alzheimer's, like Stephen Price?
Well, I'm delighted to say that Schrag, who was instrumental in exposing a lot of the problems in false records, false research in the field, that even though the plight of whistleblowers is often very, very desperate, and they are often find themselves in a situation where their careers can even be destroyed by vindictive responses to their actions, he ended up pretty well. He actually just recently got tenure, which I'm delighted to say. I mean, the fact that he did this without tenure in his post at Vanderbilt University was pretty impressive show of courage. But now he has tenure. His research is going along well. He's himself working hard to try to find new scientific developments to understand better and eventually cure Alzheimer's disease. And he's also got a sideline now, which is being a bit of an authority on image integrity and its role in scientific integrity. So I'm very happy to say that he's ended his situation very well.
Well, I'm happy too, because it sounds like we need more like people like Matthew Schrag and yourself as well. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have. Thank you, Charles.
Thank you so much for your interest, and thanks for having me on the program, Mike.
My guest was Charles Piller, an award-winning investigative journalist for Science Magazine. He's the author of Doctored, Fraud, Arrogance, and Tragedy in the Quest to Cure Alzheimer's. I'm Mike Green. You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange on JPR.